Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, it's good to be with you once again. And the Bible says that we should rejoice in the Lord always, and that this is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And we're one day closer to the time when Jesus comes back and solves every problem and rules from Jerusalem, Israel. And so God has given us his word. And it says at least three gospels, he said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And there's another place where Jesus said that God has given us the words, and he prays not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me out of the world. For he says, I have given them the words that thou hast given me. The ones that he's prayed for out of the whole world, he said he's given them his words. And so today, God has given the words to the world. We have in the Authorized King James Bible, it is has 5 billion copies gone to every country in the world. Then many translations have been made from it. But today we have in the studio Pastor Mark O'Donnell with us, and he is pastor of the Community Baptist Church in Akron, Ohio, a church that God has really tremendously blessed. And in a minute we have him give his testimony, tell something about it, and then have him say something about our subject. And then Mark Block, he's very important because he picks me up. And then Pastor Al Davis is here as a co-host, and he's a great blessing to me. And if I can't answer any question, he always has the answer. So anyway, it's good to be with the brothers here today. And I want to give this scripture verse to start with in 1 Timothy 3:15 and 16. It says here, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know that thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, the church of the living God, right from the time of Christ, has always had the true word of God. And we can trace it right through history. We have the confessions of faith. We know the pastors' names. And they were Bible-believing Baptist churches that started with the Lord Jesus Christ and have continued on today. And we have the documented evidence in many history books today, but I'm not going to go into that. We've talked about that in other times. But they had the true word of God. And when Martin Luther was taken and captured by Frederick of Saxony to protect him, and he's in Wartburg Castle in Germany, they said that he put out the New Testament in a matter of weeks. He translated into German, but he had the Tepl Bible on his desk, which was a Bible that was translated into German by the Baptist. And he had that on his desk, so he had a little help from the Baptists back in that time, too. But all through the ages until today, an independent Baptist church has been going on right from the time of the apostles. We have many documented evidences of this. And it says this in this scripture verse, that the church of the living God is the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, it's not the church that is the truth, but a pillar and the ground is what upholds the house. So the pillar, the church of the living God is the pillar, is what upholds the truth. The truth is God's word. And they've always had it, and it's come down to us through the ages, through the Bible-believing churches down through the ages, and we have it today. And, about 99% of the ancient manuscripts will back up the Authorized King James Bible. And we're just giving this as an introduction today. But we're so glad then to have Brother Mark O'Donnell with us. And I'm going to ask him if he would simply start off by giving a short testimony about how he got saved, and then we'll go on.
Well, I was just 12 years of age, and I was in a Baptist church and heard the gospel. And at that point, I felt conviction. I went forward, but I found myself going to the altar a number of times, questioning even my salvation at that time. Through the years, my life maybe strayed a little bit from the Lord and some things there, and yet I still held on to that as my salvation experience. I ultimately got back into church after taking a stint in the Army and some other things like that, and began the Community Baptist Temple in 1994. it would be a few years later, during that time when I went to a youth camp that, as a man preached the gospel and was talking about the need for salvation for these young people, that, well, I tell you, a great conviction came on my heart about the need for salvation. And the truth was, is that at that point I began to think, well, I've done everything that the Bible says. I mean, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I recognize myself a sinner. I know that I need to receive and accept him only as my salvation. And I just began to wonder, what in the world is going on here? Why am I feeling the way I'm feeling? Nonetheless, at that point, I had the opportunity to lead a young man to the Lord. And as I went through the scriptures, I said, well, I've done all of these things. I have no question or doubt that I have done them and meant them the best I know how. Well, I left there with still a tremendous burden on my heart, just not understanding all of that. And then when I got home, I talked to my wife about it, and she just said, well, maybe the devil's just fighting you. It sounds like it's satanic. And boy, I tell you what, I just felt a relief, and I felt so much better about that. The only problem was is that down through the years, then over the next 10 years or so, every once in a great while, I would recognize and notice just a little bit of doubt, and I'd wonder, you know, what's going on? I'd lay in my bed. I'd say, Lord, if I'm not saved, then make that clear. And Lord, if I'm not saved, then right now I'm just asking to save me. I mean, I know what it means to be saved. And so I want to trust you right now. I believe in you. Well, nonetheless, time goes on again, and I just never could get that peace. And every once in a great while, that tinge of doubt would show itself. But most of the time, I felt perfectly fine pastoring. The church is growing, where once we were just 30 or 40 when I went to that camp. Now we're running about 400, and I'm thinking, man, if I would ever make a public profession of this thing right now, man, I could blow the whole thing up. And the devil kept on me, and I kept thinking, I don't need to be saved, though. I've been saved, and I just couldn't figure it out. Well, I was at a youth rally with some of our top, some of our group of young people and some of our leadership, and boy, they had a wonderful skit on hell. And I remember at the end of the service, they showed this, and I was praying, Lord, you've got to save these young people. They're going to go to hell without Jesus Christ. If there's anybody in this room that's not saved, do it today. And boy, I mean to tell you, it was like the Lord himself spoke to my heart and just said, this could be your last opportunity. You got to do this publicly. This isn't about somewhere private in a bedroom. This is you making an adult decision, settling this situation. And boy, I tell you, I knew right then I better deal with it. I didn't understand it 100%. But I knew he was speaking. And so I figured, I'm going to obey God. I'm not going to hell for anybody. And so at that point, I just got up from my seat, and I looked at my wife. Actually, I tapped her and I said, listen, I got to settle it. She went, okay, then settle it. I went forward, and I just had my youth director. Actually, I had to turn to the scripture. He was all flustered. And so I had him read it to me. I trusted Christ as my Savior. At the end of the service, they said, all right, anybody get saved? And all of these kids are raising their hands, and wonderful, good news. I raised my hand. They said, who from your church got saved, Brother O'Donnell? And I said, I did. And went back to my church that Sunday, and I gave my testimony in the morning service, and we saw 44 people come to Christ that morning. We saw that morning I got baptized, and then that evening I baptized 38 others. And from that point on, I learned a very valuable lesson. The devil may try to get me to doubt my salvation, but he will never tell me to get saved. And so if I always tell people, and just a matter of fact, in my office just last night, I had a man come to me and say, could you tell me your testimony? Because he had heard just a little tinge of it. And I said, sure, I will. And he said, man, I got to get saved. Because he said, that what you said about that really impacted me. Yep, the devil may try to get me to doubt my salvation, but he'll never tell me to get saved. And so he said, that made so much sense to me. And so he got saved. And just a week ago, some young man heard my testimony, got saved from that as well. And I share this testimony because it was a difficult thing at the time. But, the fact was is that, it's real. It's the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to our heart. We have to obey him. And so that's my salvation testimony. So in January the 16th, 2005, I trusted Christ as my Savior on a Friday night. And ever since, I've never doubted. And so God's been good to me.
Thank you very much. Now, if you would tell us something about your church. I mean, you have a Community Baptist Church in Akron, and I was down there just recently on a beautiful, beautiful building down there, and bought the Carousel Theater down there.
Yeah, the old Carousel Dinner Theater, a very popular site in Akron, and we were blessed to be able to purchase it. And it took us a number of years to renovate and to prepare it for ministry, but we were able to do so. The Lord's blessed us in that area, and now we see folks coming from around the area. It's easy to say, hey, we're in that old Carousel Dinner Theater. And again, we have a renovated auditorium and classroom space, and the Lord's just blessed us as we seek to reach out to our community through door-to-door soul winning and just through a number of other ways, through our bus ministry, and just careful to try to give the gospel out. As much as we want folks to attend our church, more importantly, we want them to be able to make it to heaven. And so as we go out, our real goal is to see people come to Christ. And then, obviously, as a believer, you need a good church home, just like you need a home on earth, and just like you need a heavenly home, you need a good church home. And so we try to provide that for people through our music ministry, through the opportunity to serve in that ministry, as well as all the other ministries of our church, giving them a place to call home while they're here on earth. And then one day we'll all meet together in heaven and be together there.
Well, I sure enjoyed that conference you had down there. And I really think it's important for churches to do that because, you know, sometimes they get in a minister and he just out of some Greek department and he says, well, you can't understand a King James, and then we should get a more modern translation. But the thing they don't tell them is it's not even the same, doesn't even come from the same text. And the text is, what I can't understand is why some of these versions, they have so much corruption that are so obvious, they're so bad. Yes. You know.
Well, I, from the time that we started Community Baptist Temple, before we started it, I did some my own personal research on the King James Bible and other versions, because honestly, I wanted God to give me what was best, what He wanted for me. And so I did a number of months of study, just personally digging into it. I went to a church that the pastor would say every once in a while, and again, it wasn't often. It was a King James church, but he would say things like, well, to understand the Proverbs, it's best if you could maybe get another version. It will help you to understand it. And I would think, why do we need another version? And so I did my own studies, and I read up on not just the King James, but I read up on some other men that believe other things, and just trying to really get a good balance. And I think it's important that we do that. If someone doesn't believe the King James Bible is the Word of God, I think it would be in their best interest to maybe dig into some of the works of other men other than just those they trust or believe in. Look into the King James issue. Really give an opportunity for God to speak to you about it. And I was convinced that the King James Bible was the Word of God, without question, perfect, without error, and 100% God's Word, not 99 or 97%, but 100%. And so that became the Word of God that we used. We don't, in our church, we have a policy that we don't even allow ourselves to study from other versions. It serves no purpose whatsoever, seeing that they're from a corrupt manuscript, and as a result of that, they're going to give us a different meaning. And that's obvious as you look at the different versions. You can't help but read them, and they say different things. They don't just use different words. They literally say different things. And so over these past 24 and so many years here now at Community Baptist Temple, we've utilized the King James Bible exclusively and have no regrets whatsoever for doing that.
Yeah, you know, there's so much deception there because if you look in, you buy books in the Christian bookstores, they talk about different translation. This translation is good, and it's close to the originals and that, so on. But they don't tell you that every translation comes from a different Greek text. So they're not saying the same thing. And then not only that, you got the lexicons. And the lexicons, many of them are put out by Unitarians. I mean, so you just got the Greek departments are just full of confusion and chaos.
Well, in our King James Bible conference, obviously, that we did just have not too awfully long ago, one of the things we tried to express was where these new versions are coming from. And when it's all said and done, as you well know, they're really from, you know, basically an eclectic text. They're from a critical text. Primarily the two major texts would be, you know, Codex Sinaiticus and Vaticanus. And so, you know, as you look at these modern versions, they're really based out of one, you know, basically a corrupt text, all from one, you know, group. You know, Westcott, Hort just took all of that, mashed it together, made themselves a text. And of course, that's been updated since. However, all the versions outside of the King James Bible, and some have said even the New King James, are from those corrupted texts. Even the New King James, however, has problems because its inserts, some portions have been inserted, if you will, into that text from those corrupted Alexandrian texts. And so as a result of that, we exclusively use the King James Bible and want nothing to do with any of the others.
Yeah, and you know, and it's very interesting because the Vaticanus, of course, comes from the Vatican. It comes from photographs the Pope gave the world. When he put those photographs out, the photographs didn't even agree.
Yeah.
So it all comes from the Catholic Church. That's amazing, you know. And then some of these translations on the Bible societies and everything, like Archbishop Carlos Maria Martini, he's one of the people that's on the translation committees of these, of the Bible Society, you know. And it's interesting with the New King James, it was put out by a company that puts out apologetics for the Catholic Church, for one thing. And you know, at the time when Falwell had that, backed that up and put that out, I think Geisler was on the staff. Well, Geisler on the staff of Liberty Baptist College, but he was trained. He got his doctorate degree from the Jesuits. And of course, then I read his book, and he promotes the Vatican Bible, you know.
Yep.
And so those in the Roman Church, they wouldn't accept the King James, but they'll accept the New King James. Isn't that something?
That is. It's
when
amazing.
You look at this information, you know, people, this information is out there. You know, we're not. And you know what I am saying here, if I was just saying this by myself and a few other people, but you know, Spurgeon dealt with the same subject. D.L. Moody dealt with the same subject. And a number of other people, you know what they did? They dumped the Greek departments in their day because this thing was going on in their day. Mm-hmm. And so they just taught the King James Bible in their Bible schools. But about 50 years later, they forgot that what the problem was, and they invited those Greek teachers in. And now today, those Greek departments, it is just chaos. And a lot of times when preachers get out of there, there's so much layers of misinformation.
Mm-hmm.
But another problem that goes along with it, the devil says, you know, to Adam and Eve, you will be wise as the gods, knowing good and evil, if you take of the tree of knowledge, you know. And so today the devil doesn't say wise as the gods. He says, the scholars say. Of course, they don't bother to tell them what scholars say.
Right.
I mean, who were the scholars that said it? They didn't tell them that they were Unitarians or Roman Catholics or so on, you know. Yeah. And so they say the scholars say, and with that, what has happened in evangelicalism? The whole herd snorts three times and runs violently over the cliff. And that's about what they've done, you know. I mean, it's just absolute chaos. And it's hard for me to imagine that these versions come out and recommended by leading evangelicals, yeah. And yet don't they read what they say? I mean, I hear them on the radio, and I think, oh, my goodness, all the changes that are made and everything. But, you know, I say, on the other hand, you know, God in the beginning, he gave his words through the apostles. And he says the apostles would, the Holy Spirit, guide him into all truth. And then he gave them the gift of tongues. And he gave them the translations of those words. And he says, when that which is perfect is come, that which is imparted shall be done away with. And there's no question about what that which is perfect is, because it says we can look at the perfect law of liberty. Mm-hmm. So when they were given the scripture, then that gift was taken away. And so then in order to make sure that the people had the right translation, what he did is, he's got it translated, like in the book of Acts, what is it, 14 different languages? And so it was translated into many different languages. And one of the early church historians, Eusebius, said that within a few hundred years, there was 500 translations yes. out there that were of the received text. And so the earliest translations coming, like the beginning of the English language, the Gothic translation, the Armenian translation, the Syriac Peshitta translation, mm-hmm. the Koine Greek, all of these have the readings of the King James Bible in it. And it says about the Word of God increasing. I remember at the conference mm-hmm. there, the other speaker mentioned that. He says about how the Word of God increased until the Bible says the whole world heard the Word of God. You know, well, it was translated into all the languages of the world, and so they got. And today, when the King James translator sat down they were the best translators that were had ever sat down, and they had all these languages translated, which made up the received text. And Jesus said in three Gospels that he would preserve it. And then he says, I have given, he prayed not for the world, but for them that thou hast given me out of the world. For I have given them the words, them that he has given out of the whole world. And it says, the word of God is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth.
Amen.
And so, thank God we have it today.
We certainly do have the word of God. And as a pastor, I'm certainly glad about that, because without that word, we have no authority. And unfortunately, it seems that many are content to operate or function without authority. Because if you would ask them, do you believe your Bible to be without error? Almost inevitably, if they fail to use a King James Bible, they're going to say, well, for the most part, yes, 97.3% or 98.5%. Well, we're 100% sure that we have the Word of God. And, you know, I can respect somebody that would say, well, I use this particular version, and I believe it is without doubt, 100%, the Word of God without error. But I have never ran into that person yet. And so I believe if we're going to minister to a world, we better make sure we have the Word of God. And unfortunately, many are ever learning but never coming to the truth. And we know that the Word of God itself is truth. So you better make sure you've got the Word of God. Not just hope you do or believe you do in a sense that, well, I know a lot of people that have used this my whole life. You need to do some research, dig in, find out what really is the truth. And I believe today, without a doubt, the King James Bible is the Word of God.
Yeah, their system is totally rationalistic. You know, it's just based on man's opinions and ideas, but ours is based on what the Scripture says, because I believe everything that the Bible says about the Word of God points like a laser beam to the King James Bible. Mm. You can't get around it. That's how I came to believe it, just by reading the Scripture. And one day it just opened up. This is it.
Well, again, I just, as you look at history again and you just watch these translations down through the years, you see how everything went out of either Alexandria, Egypt, or out of Antioch of Syria, and you follow those two lines. It's really not difficult to see that those are basically the two lines that exist. And there may be some shoot-offs here and there, but the reality is that the primary lines that exist are simply those two. And when you take the King James Bible lands on one side and every other version lands on the other, you have to begin to wonder, now, what is going on here? Why would this book stand alone? And again, it seems to me that even as we know that the narrow way leads to heaven and the broad way leads to hell, the fact is that you have a narrow way here. We've got a book today that most people will reject and say that, well, it's archaic, it's old, it's out of date, it's no longer practical. But the truth is that book right there is the way. It's the truth, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, in that regard. And so we have Christ with us through the Word of God, and we got to just hold on to it with every fiber of our being.
Yeah, it's so simple when you study it, because it says, these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and believing you might have life through his name. Well, the other ones in Luke 2:33 says he's the son of Joseph, and Jesus had just corrected Mary for the same thing, saying that she was covering up, you know. Well, but there's so many verses like that that point to the King James, and so thank God we have the Word of God. Jesus promised it, three Gospels.
Yes.
And he meant what he said. And it says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And when you believe you have it, and you know, it says the Word of God is powerful. Every revival comes through the King James. You never have a revival that doesn't come through the King James. And you can take every revivalist that God blessed always came through the King James.
Well, I believe that Britain itself became the great nation that it did simply because of the Word of God. When the King James Bible came into existence, all of a sudden, all of those little colonies that they had begun and started took it out into the world and made a difference. And today we have and see the outcome of that.
Thy word is truth from the beginning and is certainly the source of joy and blessing and salvation. And Jesus said, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Amen. Our life, everlasting life, begins right now and will go on through all eternity. Well, Brother Marcus, so what a blessing it is to have you here today. And I hope God continues to bless your church, the Community Baptist Church down in Akron. It's right about 224-91 in that area, isn't it? No, it's been moved now.
Yeah, we're on Kelly Avenue, off the Kelly Avenue exit off Route 224.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
I was thinking the old one.
Nope. Thank you, and again, may God bless you and your ministry.
Okay, God bless you. Thanks a lot for coming.
Amen.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.